Welcome to the VAT update for December 2015, and may I take this opportunity of wishing you a happy and successful festive season, as this will be the last VAT podcast for this year. We've got six items to cover, and as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which in themselves contain links should you wish to do further research. First item to look at is the autumn statement, and there's really not much in VAT within it. There's an announcement that consultation will occur with a view to bringing in changes to the legislation on the reduced rates of VAT for energy-saving material. But following the infraction proceedings, this is hardly a surprise, and the good news is that this will not apply until April 2016, and we'll get to see the detail in the budget and budget press releases of 16th March. There's also an announcement that sixth form colleges in England will be given the opportunity to become academies and therefore will be able to recover their non-business VAT costs. There's a very interesting decision on agency work, temporary staff and employment bureau, and it is that of ADECO. I've given a fairly detailed summary of the case, but the issue was whether the employment bureau was supplying temporary workers to various businesses, and if so, should it account for VAT on the full amount of the charge, which included the individual's wages, or was it merely acting as an agent of the end user client, and the employment bureau should only account for VAT and its margin. Now, as I say, it's a detailed analysis, but the interesting point is that this decision has turned on an interpretation of the English law of contract, which requires reciprocal consideration. And basically, the absence of any reciprocal consideration between the end user client and the worker meant that the judicial analysis concluded that it was a supply by ADECO to the end client, not only of its introductory fee in identifying the worker, but also for the full cost of that worker's services, because it was ADECO that played the worker, and therefore that was the contractual arrangement. Now, in Scotland, I think a different conclusion might have arisen, but that's a hypothesis that remains to be tested. This is a 314 paragraph judgment and very lengthy, but I think that the key to this decision lies in paragraphs 93 and 99, where the judge, Barbara Mosdale, concluded that the client's only obligation was to pay for the works was an obligation to pay ADECO the agreed fee, and there was no attempt to break down the contract or suggest that ADECO was acting as agent of the client and making a disbursement to the worker. So I think that although this decision itself creates a conflict with that of the earlier decision from 2011, the matter will need to be resolved by a case going to the upper tribunal. It's an important decision for supplies to organisations which are exempt or partially exempt. So if you've got clients who are employment bureaus, or indeed who are in the category of being exempt or partially exempt and using agency workers, you need to read this one. HMRC have announced that the VAT gap is estimated at 13 billion, and that's 10.4% of the estimated net VAT total of 124 billion. There's a very interesting case for purists of judicial law, being that of Revenue and Customs versus General Motors. And the case concerned a repayment claim being made by General Motors for the own use of cars, and it used between about 13 and 20,000 cars each year for its own use. And the point at issue was the value at which that self-supply of cars should be brought into the computation. There had been an industry-wide agreement that it was two-thirds of list price, but General Motors were then able to demonstrate that cost price was lower, and as a result it had overpaid VAT, which it attempted to reclaim, but HMRC refused the claim, and they refused it on a number of grounds. What was interesting is that the upper tribunal, in considering this case, looked at modelling, because the original records covering the period of the claim had been lost, And they decided that the modelling had a number of defects which they could correct, and therefore they made a best value judgment assessment. And HMRC were saying unless the model was 100% correct, it should be rejected in total. So they appealed on the basis that the first year tribunal had considered evidence which it ought not to have considered, and also that it had made a best judgment which it ought not to have done. And the upper tribunal ruled that there was no point of law which had been abused, and that the first year tribunal had been entitled to reach the conclusions which it had and hear the evidence which it had received, and therefore there was no error of law, and the decision of the first year tribunal stood. It's an interesting case. Residential caravans have the benefit, if they're occupied all year round, of zero rating, and there's been changes to the British standard. So HMRC have published a new brief, 21/205, which clarifies their position. And finally, HMRC have published an update on the VAT appeals, which HMRC have lost, expressing their attitude to the decision and what they intend to do. Thanks very much for listening, and Happy New Year when it comes.